Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When you see a crowd and you see them excited, you know something's going on. You say, what is going on? And then as you look, maybe you can picture this, a crowd along the roadway, and then you see a bunch of cars go by, a bunch of black cars, some Suburbans and some limos, and you think, maybe somebody important is coming. And I don't know, I've never seen the presidential car go by in person. Maybe some of you have, but it's been nicknamed the Beast. The Beast is the presidential car. This beast is pretty impressive. It weighs 20,000 pounds. And some of this is rumored. We don't know because it's classified, but it's rumored to weigh 20,000 pounds. Why? Because it has 8-inch thick armored plating on it. It's fully enclosed to protect from chemical attack. It even is said to have the president's blood type on board. It's a very special vehicle. It's the Beast. Kevlar-enforced tires. It can run flat. Rumored possibly a number of different weapons. It's an impressive vehicle. And when you see the Beast roll by, you know that somebody important is on their way. Now, for some people, this is a reason for rejoicing. Over the years, we've had different presidents, and for some, it's been a joyful thing to see their president go by, and they're waving and taking pictures and trying to get close. And for others, they're not so pleased. Those of you that were there with the JFK assassination, you know vividly well what I'm talking about. Hence the Beast and the protective armor. So when we have someone important rolling by, for some it's a joyous occasion, waving and celebration, and for others, they would rather see them dead. Some are looking for deliverance from economic woes. Some are looking for some to save them from the current problems in the economy and whatever else, and others are looking for them to die, the leader to die. The same is the case for Jesus. We hear about Jesus as he's rolling by. And it says in John chapter 12, the next day the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Boy, you've got an excited group of people. Some of these people are there gathering for the Passover celebration, one of the major Jewish festivals. We touched on that last week about the Passover, where the lambs would be sacrificed. And the people were excited, but they were also excited because Jesus was there. They had heard about what Jesus had done. They'd heard about the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and they wanted to see this Jesus who had raised them from the dead. So this was a moment of celebration. Not only were they celebrating the deliverance that God gave from Exodus, as he called the people out of the land of slavery and delivered them from the darkness, but also they were looking forward to the deliverance that they thought Jesus would also give, especially this powerful Jesus who was strong enough to raise Lazarus from the dead. And so what were they doing? They were taking their palm branches, and that's not something we usually do, but if you're an avid sports fan, like I know some of you are, maybe you wave your arms, or if you've got the foam fingers, you wave your foam finger around. Or if you're a cheesehead from Wisconsin, you wear your cheesehead. And I don't know what Wisconsin people wave, but they're very enthusiastic fans. That's what I do know. And you're excited. You're waving these palm branches. What we find in 146 BC was a man by the name of Simon. Simon of the Maccabees, and if you've done some Jewish history study, you'll hear about this figure. And this was a man who came in and helped free the Jews from their situation. He helped attack the Syrians who had invaded. He went in and he got rid of the idols that had been in the Jerusalem area, and they rejoiced with palm branches, and they were excited because this was a time of victory for this person who came to deliver them. So that's what they're doing for Jesus. They're waving their palm branches, and they're also crying that word Hosanna. And as I pointed out to the children in the children's message, that word Hosanna means save us. And with a sense of expectancy, here is one who is capable of saving us. Hosanna, save us. And then they do something rather interesting, is they quote from Psalm 118, the psalm that we said today, and they used it to point to Jesus. They said it, and they referred to Jesus. Psalm 118 is in a group of psalms what we call the Hallel Psalms. Hallel has to do with praise or adoration. Those are Psalms 113 to Psalm 118. Psalms 113 to 118 were the Hallel Psalms, and they were used by the Jewish people during times of celebration, during times of joy. And it's very interesting that then they speak this psalm, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and they refer to Jesus. A messianic type song, a psalm that points to the deliverance that God would give. And there's something else rather interesting in our story for today, is the way in which Jesus made his journey into Jerusalem on the back of a beast. Now, this beast wasn't 20,000 pounds. It probably weighed more like 364 pounds, whatever a donkey might weigh. It didn't use diesel or gasoline, but rather it ate hay or grass. And it was probably a little furry and... I don't know, I've never ridden on a donkey. But Jesus rides in on this donkey, and there is a significance to this. There's a significance to this. Donkeys, first of all, were actually used by royalty back in the day. That was the mode of transportation for royalty in peacetime. Now, you might have your king ride into a country with a war horse, but during peacetime, they might ride on a donkey or a mule. And you can find this in the Old Testament with, for example, Solomon, who comes in on a mule, and Absalom also. So we see this precedent where Jesus is almost treated like royalty. He's chosen, though, to sit on this donkey. But we also find out that there is a messianic significance having to do with the Messiah. And that's where we see the connection with our Old Testament lesson from Zechariah. As Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 from our Old Testament says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And that's what John points out. He actually points back to this prophecy from Zechariah. Hey, so far so good. This is a joyous day. There's celebration with palm branches, with the shouts of Hosanna. Jesus is coming in on a donkey, and it all looks good, doesn't it? Looks great. Well, I think the people were expecting Jesus to deliver them from the Romans. They wanted to be delivered from this present situation of the oppression by the Romans, and they expected Jesus to come in and conquer. And they were excited about the conquering that was to come. But as we know, things kind of took a bit of a turn. There were people that wanted Jesus assassinated. Instead of wanting Jesus to be their deliverer, they wanted Jesus to be put to death. And pretty soon we hear a shift, and there were cries of Hosanna, and those shifted to crucify, crucify. As the crowds were stirred up by the Pharisees who, in their jealousy, wanted Jesus dead. As it says in our hymn, "Sometimes they strew his way and his sweet praises sing, resounding all the day hosannas to their king. Then crucify is all their breath, and for his death they thirst and cry." Jesus came into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, but he went out of Jerusalem with a cross on his back. And for those that were excited about Jesus to come in as their deliverer, I can't help but think that they were disappointed in their deliverer. You know how it goes. You get your hopes up for someone or something, and then your hopes are dashed. And then all of a sudden you find yourself with disappointment or disillusioned. I don't know how many of you are following the March Madness, but those of you that had a hope for a certain team or a certain player had your hopes up. Maybe there was a star player that was supposed to do something incredible for the team, but then you find out that they're a dud and you're disappointed and you're frustrated, because if you've been filling in the the graphs for your March Madness. It just messed everything up for you. That can happen with sports teams. It can also happen with political leaders. We can have our hopes set on a particular leader from whatever era it might be. And we have high hopes, but then as the year or the years progress, we find ourselves disappointed or disillusioned because whatever economic plan or whatever package the president offered didn't work. Or the president maybe got assassinated or impeached. And pretty soon you find yourself disillusioned. And I have a question for you today. Is it possible that sometimes we can become disillusioned with our deliverer, Jesus? Maybe we have in our mind certain expectations about what Jesus is going to do for us. We have certain ideas about how he's going to deliver us from a particular situation, but then it doesn't turn out like we had hoped. We still hear about situations in our world which are troubling to us. The bombings in Texas, and there's still strife in the Middle East and in other parts of our world. There are people that we pray for on Sundays and other days, and our list has grown as of late. And first of all, thanks be to God that we can come to him in prayer, right? I think it's wonderful that God's people are praying, but sometimes when we pray for that person, we're hoping and we know God can heal them, and yet as we pray for them, we hear the reports come back that instead of getting better, this person has taken a turn for the worse. And maybe we find ourselves saying, God, what is going on? I've been praying about this. Why haven't you delivered in the way that I was hoping or the way that I expected you to? Perhaps it shakes our faith a little bit. Maybe we start doubting and maybe even questioning the existence of God. It can happen. Why? Because Jesus, the deliverer, has not lived up to our expectations. Maybe he's not the deliverer, we might say. We would love for God to come and deliver us from our problems right now, sweeping in like a superhero to take care of all the evil the way we want it taken care of, to take care of the problems or the sickness or the situations the way we want them to be taken care of. And when it doesn't happen, we might say, he's a dud. But does that mean that God has failed? Does that mean that Jesus is not the deliverer? I would have to say no. Jesus is the deliverer. But Jesus came to deliver in a way that we may not fully understand. And he came to deliver on a much larger scale than where we are zoomed in right now. Jesus could have come in and gotten rid of the Romans. Jesus could have wiped out the situation, but what would have prevented that situation from just occurring again? You can attack the symptoms of a problem, but the problem will just come back if you don't take care of the root. Those of you that are gardeners, you know what happens if you cut down a plant but you miss part of it. Like mint, for example. Mint is just a horrible plant to work with. Because if you miss one part of that mint plant, it will come back up. And you know other plants that are like that too. Unless you cut it off from the root, it will come back. Same with plant problems. Maybe those of you that were out helping out with the work day were thinking about plants. And you can have a plant that has a disease, and you can look at the symptoms on the leaves, but the problem really lies within the root. It lies within the plant. You see, I would propose that Jesus, your Messiah, came to deliver you from the root of the problem, not merely the symptoms of the problem. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, Jesus rode in as your sacrifice to take care of the sin problem. We see the symptoms of sin. We see terrorism. We see the brokenness that comes in relationships because of sin. We see the sickness because of the sin overall in this world. But the root of it is sin. As it says in the scriptures, the wages of sin is death. But Jesus came riding into Jerusalem more brave than we can even understand, to come as the sacrifice for sin. And this is what I want to draw your attention to, a parallel with the time that Jesus comes in. Jesus comes in during the time of Passover, a week before the Passover lambs are to be sacrificed. A week before the lambs were to be sacrificed, people would pick their lamb for the sacrifice. They would take their lamb and then prepare it to be sacrificed. And interestingly enough, Jesus comes into Jerusalem a week before he is to be sacrificed on the cross. And during that time, the religious leaders would test him and question him, and yet he proved to be the perfect and the ultimate sacrifice for sin. And what Jesus did wasn't very impressive. We like to have impressive messiahs. When we watch movies, we love to see heroes who come and sweep in with grandeur and glory. But Jesus came in as a different kind of messiah. I'll describe for you the Messiah from Isaiah chapter 53. Listen to this description of Jesus. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Our epistle lesson for today from Philippians chapter 2 says these words to you. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death upon the cross. As Jesus was there dying upon the cross, that was hardly impressive as a Messiah. People even mocked him. Ha! If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross! But it wasn't that he couldn't come down from the cross. It's that he wouldn't come down from the cross because his love for you was too strong. As the saying goes, it wasn't nails that kept Jesus to the cross, but his love for you. And that is a powerful Messiah. We may not always have the Messiah that we want, or the Messiah that we think we need, but God has given you exactly the Messiah that you do need. The one to take care of the root of the problem so that you stand before God forgiven. So that you stand before God with new strength because you, as a baptized child of God, have been given the Holy Spirit. So in the middle of the problems, in the midst of the struggles, in the midst of the sickness, in the midst of the unanswered questions, you have the strength by the power of God working in you to face those challenges and those difficulties because your Messiah has come to deliver you. You are no longer slaves to sin and death and the power of the devil, but you have new life as a child of God. Remember this, that you are not left helpless. And no, it is not in your own strength that you will fight and that you will live, but it is in the strength of Jesus, that Messiah, who stands now risen from the dead. As it says in Philippians chapter 2, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And he gives you strength for the day. As you go forward this week, as we enter into Holy Week, remember what your Savior Jesus did for you. Maundy Thursday, he gave the new covenant in his blood given and shed for you. In the communion liturgy, we hear these words, holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And remember this, that though there are struggles and difficulties now, the day is coming when all will be made right, when all will be made peaceful, when there will be ultimate fulfillment in Christ, because your Messiah Jesus has come for you, and he's coming again with power and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.